Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. So yes, I'm keeping up with the weekly episodes here, and don't mind the mess behind me. Remember, this is a temporary location. In fact, in 2 months, I'll be at my more permanent residence once everything is ready for me to move in there. And I gotta tell you, when you move to a different area, you have to get used to quite a few changes. Where I lived before, if I needed a haircut, for instance, getting a little shaggy there, I would just be able to walk right on in, get a haircut, walk out. Now I have to schedule everything in advance, and I forget to, and, well, you can't wait until you need a haircut to schedule it because they are booked. So I'm still getting used to everything down here in my new city, but, hey, life has its challenges, and we adapt. Okay, so enough about that. Let's go ahead and dive on into today's show. So we're going to start off here talking about rolling summer blackouts expected across the United States. Oh, yes. Blackouts across the United States are expected. You know, this is what pisses me off. We were energy independent. We were a net exporter of energy. Biden comes in, he shuts down our energy production, shuts down future expanded energy production, and as energy costs started shooting through the roof, he comes up with a bunch of excuses. He tries to blame it on Putin invading Ukraine, but all of this was happening long before Russia invaded Ukraine. Energy prices going up, skyrocketing. And we know it's purposeful because we all saw as Biden, or maybe you didn't bother watching, admitting that it was intentional, that the pains that we are suffering is all part of the transition to green energy, renewable energy, the Green New Deal. Now, I've talked about the whole man-made climate change BS before, and I'm not going to rehash that. But just remember, as everything is going on in the countryside, it is all intentional. And, you know, another thing that just really pissed me off is we're facing a food shortage, and Biden is committing to exporting food to South American countries. This is when we take a look at the inflation, the high gas prices, the food shortages that we are now seeing. This is part of the Democrats' America Last strategy. This is what happens when you install someone who fundamentally hates the country into the White House. You get nothing but pain and suffering. And of course, the Democrats will say they have a solution. It will only cost us giving up more of our rights and freedoms and paying the government more of our hard-earned income in order for them to solve the problems that they themselves created. And of course, narcissists are going to be narcissists. Report, Joe Biden is really upset that he is now more unpopular than Donald Trump. In crisis after crisis, the White House has found itself either limited or helpless in its effort to combat the forces pummeling them. Morale inside the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, is plummeting amid growing fears that the parallels to Jimmy Carter, another first-term Democrat plagued by soaring prices and a foreign policy morass, will stick. Okay, so I believe that the comparisons to Jimmy Carter is unfair to Jimmy Carter. I mean, Biden is so horrible, he makes Jimmy Carter look like Ronald Reagan. That's how bad things are right now. And of course, Joe Biden thinks that as you are suffering financially, gas prices, food prices all going up, food shortages starting to appear, and everything coming crashing down, that you should be thankful for it. And that he should be more popular than President Trump, who, while in office, stimulated the economy, had record low unemployment, rising incomes, energy surpluses, and a calm international community as a result of his policies. And he can't understand why he's less popular than Trump when everything Biden touches is a complete and total dumpster fire. You know, narcissist. He believes that you should be thankful for all the pain and suffering that he has caused. Okay. So we can go on about all of that, the rolling blackouts, the complete dumpster fire of the economy and Biden policies, but we got a lot more things that we need to cover. And I'm sure, you know, you've heard me talk about these type of things last week as well as hearing many others talk about just how bad the economy is and just how bad everything is under Biden. Right, you don't need me reminding you of what you already know just throughout your daily life. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into some things that maybe you have missed. So, Virginia school district sued for forcing teachers to hide students' gender identity from parents. Virginia Harrisonburg City Public Schools is violating the rights of parents and teachers by forcing the latter to address students by their preferred name and gender pronouns. Pain of discipline while hiding students' gender identity from their parents, according to news outlets. The district compels staff to mislead and deceive parents, ADF said in a press release, violating parents' state constitutional and statutory rights to direct the upbringing and education of their children. It previously warned the district in a January letter. The district policy of immediate social transition and unquestioning affirmation without parental involvement for every case of gender dysphoria in minors is harmful, not to mention contrary to science, the suit says. Each child's situation is unique and warrants loving and tailored attention that is best determined not by school officials, but by parents. Counselors were told to report any teacher not using preferred names and pronouns to the administration in August 2021 training, the suit claims. Now, this is a repeating pattern that we have seen time and time again as we go through and we take a look at the schools and what they are doing. They know what they are doing is wrong. We know this because in each of these situations, they are deliberately engaged in efforts to try and hide what they are doing from parents, telling kids to lie to their parents, going around parents and secretly injecting kids in some areas with puberty blockers without the parents' consent, heck, without even the parents' knowledge of the situation. Think about this. Those who are historically been trusted with children, their upbringing and education, are now engaged in a situation where they are deliberately lying and hiding what they are doing from the parents who have entrusted them with their kids, teaching kids to lie to their parents. In some cases, trying to teach the kids that their parents are horrible, evil people. You know, that's the core of critical race theory. You know, if you're a biracial student, one of your parents happens to be white, you're being taught to hate that parent. But why is it, do you think, the schools feel the need to hide everything from their parents? Do you think it's because they are proud of what they are doing, that there is some moral rightness to what they are doing? Or do you think, like every other child abuser, they operate in the dark, the shadows, because that's the only way they can get away with the abuse? When we go through and we read stories like this, I can't help escape the conclusion that the public school systems in many areas are becoming the very threat that we seek to protect the children from. They're full of groomers. They're full of people who are abusing children, encouraging mental illness, trying to force mental illness onto children, dysphoria. And so anymore, you start to wonder, you know, if you're sending your kids to public schools, are you, you know, should you be considered an unfit parent? I mean, that's kind of harsh. And the question, you know, is being asked, but then we start asking the other side, what is there to do? What's the alternative? You know, can they sacrifice, you know, one of their incomes for one of the parents to be able to stay home and homeschool their kids? Well, not under Biden's economy. And I wonder if that's part of the point of Biden's economy, is to make things so expensive that parents spend all their time at work just to be able to only provide for the basics so that they don't have the time to pay attention to what the schools are doing to their kids or what the Democrats are doing in Washington, D.C. And as long as parents are too distracted just trying to make the basic ends meet, they feel they can get away with anything. And so we start seeing a connection here between the purposeful mismanagement of the economy and of the entire government whatsoever, the dumpster fire after dumpster fire, that is the Biden administration, and the schools. Keep you distracted. The schools play hide and seek with what they're really doing with your kids, and they hope that you will never find out. And of course, when you do, they have two lines of counterattack. One, deny, 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 which becomes unsustainable with all the evidence that comes out. It reminds me of that movie, Austin Powers and the Penis Pump. You know, if you've never seen the movie, go ahead and see it. It's really funny, especially this scene where he just got thawed out after being cryogenically frozen, you know, in order to stop an evil mastermind, you know, if you can call him a mastermind. Anyways, he's there flirting with, you know, a woman, and he's getting his box of stuff, and it's a penis pump, and he starts denying it. Then it goes, here's a receipt signed by Austin Powers for said penis pump. Oh, I swear it's not mine. A book, The Penis Pump and Me by Austin Powers. You know, it starts getting ridiculous how they tried to deny it, despite the overwhelming evidence. So they move to their next line of attack and call you a horrible bigot. And this is kind of the issue with the entire Democrat Party, is that they're just full of toxic narcissists. And we saw it see that with the previous article I showed about Joe Biden being upset that he is more unpopular than Trump ever was. If you believe any of the polls about Trump's unpopularity, it's kind of hard to believe that when you have a booming economy, record low unemployment, rising wages, and a stable international community, that someone would have low approval ratings and low favorability. You know, it never really made sense. But Biden, being a narcissist, just like the rest of the Democrats, when you call them out on their toxicity, they get angry and they try to make you feel bad. They try to make you feel like you're the bad person, which is why they make up so many names, so many things that don't exist, like transphobe. Well, there's no such thing as a transphobe because there's no such thing as a transgendered person. It just doesn't exist. It's a delusion, a made-up fantasy. But yes, as we take a look at this, the schools themselves have become a threat to the children of this country. And we have to wake up to that. We have to start wondering when enough is enough. When are we going to start holding the schools responsible for child abuse at this point? You know, we really need to start waking up to what is going on and really start doing a lot more about it. Now, what that looks like, well, that's going to be different community to community. You know, is there anything parents can do? Can you do recall elections on school officials? That may be dependent upon areas. But if you're in a state that where the legislature is Republican and the governor is Republican, but the school is largely dominated by the left, could you do a write-in campaign to your state legislature and your governor? Can you be calling them demanding that these school officials be fired? Or can you go off and start demanding that they not only be fired, but they be prosecuted for child abuse at this point? Does this meet the definition of child abuse? Well, certainly if they're trying to do an end run around the parents to do puberty blockers, but let's say they're not doing puberty blockers and they're, you know, going off and just hiding from parents what they're doing in schools, trying to convince the kids that they're something that they're not. Can the teachers be put on, you know, a list that makes them unfit for the public school system or to be around any work environment that involves children? I don't know. It may be something that we think about, but you've got to start with the writing campaigns and calling to be able to get this done, because what the left is trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish with all of this is engaging in the political and sexual indoctrination of children in what is deemed or what has been traditionally called ideological subversion, brainwashing, to twist the sense of reality so much that they have no concept of truth, that they'll believe anything. After all, if you can convince someone that a boy is a girl or that a girl is actually a boy, you can convince them of anything. Which means going forward, what is that for democracy? What is that for the Constitution? Well, you can see here as they try to repeal the Second Amendment, those who have no ability to distinguish between a boy and a girl because they have been so ideologically subverted don't have any understanding of what the Constitution actually says or what the Second Amendment actually says and why the Second Amendment exists. You start seeing what the Democrats are doing. So as you keep seeing these things, start asking yourself, what can you do? Because the school system has become the threat to your children. All right, let's go on to the next one. Now, I want you to keep in mind here as we go through this article that the Democrats have held the January 6th committee hearing, a big dud that was full of the same BS that we saw in the first two attempted impeachment hearings. But let's go through this article. Report, former U.S. congressman pleads guilty to election fraud. A former U.S. congressman from Pennsylvania has pleaded guilty to several election fraud charges, including bribery and falsification of voting records, according to the U.S. Justice Department. Myers and DeMero, both of whom are Democrats, supported fellow Democratic candidates. Myers would receive payments from the candidates to cash or check and send portions of the funds to DeMero. DeMero was charged separately and pleaded guilty in May of 2020. The judge of elections for the 39th Ward, 36th Division of South Pennsylvania would then add fraudulent votes for Myers' clients. At Myers' direction, DeMero would add these fraudulent votes to the totals during election day and then would later falsely certify that the voting machine results were accurate, the DOJ said in a statement. The fraud took place between 2014 through 2018. Okay, so just think about this for a moment, because this sounds exactly like what went on in 2020's presidential election. This, in fact, is, remember, they say it's the safest and securest election, unless all the people engaged in the fraud are those overseeing the election and certifying. I mean, here it is. We're seeing election fraud, you know, a case here in which votes were fraudulently added, and then those in charge of ensuring the security of the election and the accuracy of the account were being paid off to add the fraudulent votes in and then falsely certify the accuracy of the voting machine. But don't worry, None of that could have happened in 2020, despite the fact that areas of the country in which we saw a lot of irregularities, a lot of elections being conducted in violation of their own state laws and thus in violation of the Constitution. Don't worry that the electors were unconstitutionally selected and that Joe Biden is constitutionally proven to be illegitimate. Don't worry about any of that, because nothing like this could have happened in 2020, right? I mean, you know, the idea that, you know, the Democrats would cheat during an election and bribe off election officials and pay election judges to falsely certify voting machines and illegally add fraudulent votes to the election. Nothing like that could happen in 2020. You know, all of that just stopped in 2018. I'm sure of it, right? So think about this. You know, as far as the January 6th hearing goes, you know, we go through and we see it's the same nonsense and BS that they tried to pull in the first two hearings, where they don't have any actual witnesses or evidence to implicate their or to substantiate any of their main charges. They use, you know, the selectively edited videos and, you know, 3D graphic computer generated models of what they, you know, could say happened. Of course, we all know that's bullshit. Now, the left manipulating videos, selectively editing, you know, that's nothing new. But when we go through here, they're forgetting the main thing about January 6th. And that is whether or not the votes being certified were legitimate to begin with. Now, we've seen a lot of evidence that shows that the election was in fact illegitimate, illegally conducted, electors selected in violation of the process outlined by the state legislatures, unconstitutional. We have seen mounting evidence of election fraud, ballot stuffing, people showing up to vote only to find out someone else voted in their name. We saw upwards of 120% of the population voting in certain areas. But we're not allowed to question it, or you can be taken down on social media. Despite that, the areas in which all of this happened in are areas with a long history of election fraud. And of course, as the Democrats go through the January 6th hearing and having nothing, why is it that they're so committed to January 6th? Well, that could be summed up in this article right here. FBI raids home of Michigan GOP gubernatorial candidate and Whitmer challenger. Take him into custody, according to report. The FBI raided the home of Michigan Republican gubernatorial candidate Ryan Kelly Thursday morning and reportedly took him into custody. Video reviewed by news outlet Bridge, Michigan showed a man resembling Kelly being taken into a gray SUV, according to report. Kelly is one of the five GOP candidates who qualified for the August primary ballot. The real estate agent has organized protests against Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer's strict COVID-19 lockdowns in 2020. And he was present at January 6th. Ooh! During the events of January 6th, video footage allegedly showed Kelly encouraging protesters as they entered the Capitol building, according to Bridge News. The video footage also reportedly showed the Republican candidate climbing on scaffolding outside of the building as groups of rioters breached the Capitol. Although there's no evidence that he actually entered the Capitol himself. In three separate 6-1 rulings, the state's highest court upheld the recommendations of the Michigan Bureau of Elections to keep former Detroit Police Chief James Craig, businessman Perry Johnson, and financial advisor Michael Markey off the ballot for the Republican primary. All right. without the party's most well-known candidate in Craig and best-funded candidate in Johnson, Republicans must decide between five remaining gubernatorial hopefuls. And that's where we get at with January 6th. See, they want to spin this as an insurrection. They want to try and say it was an attempted coup so that anybody who's running for election that happened to be at the Capitol, regardless of whether or not they engaged in anything, can be arrested, especially if they are the front runner for the Republican Party in that area. Now, this is what gets to me about all of this whole January 6th. So you got the Democrats talking about a coup. The Democrats, who used the FBI to target their political opponent in 2016, used the FBI to try and overturn the 2016 election, which is a coup, tried to engage in a special counsel to try and overthrow a presidency, which is a coup, all of which was based off of knowingly fraudulent documents that the Democrats themselves just made up out of thin air, two impeachment attempts with no crimes or any evidence that of anything that they had claimed, the Democrats using various agencies within the government to try and target their political opponents, and none of that's considered a coup. None of that's considered treason. But on January 6th, people entered a public building owned by the people. And they want, and so far the charges have just been trespassing. But that's the coup attempt. However, if we were to go through and bring in that previous article, you know, the one about election fraud, well, that kind of puts a different spin on things, doesn't it? What if the coup was the illegal election that was held? The certifying of illegitimate electoral votes. And knowing that the election was fraudulent, people entered the Capitol to try and defend the Constitution. Well, then, you know, if that were the case here, that would mean that the so-called insurrectionists were actually defenders of the Constitution. And those charging them with insurrection are the ones who actually did the insurrection and got away with the coup, overthrowing the actual government of the country. See, that starts putting a different light on things, doesn't it? I mean, before you can actually claim that they are insurrectionists or that they attempted a coup, wouldn't you first have to prove that despite all the evidence that Joe Biden had legitimacy, that Joe Biden was the legitimate constitutionally elected president? Considering that all the evidence is to the contrary, that we see that the elections were operated in violation of the Constitution, the electors were selected in violation of the Constitution, the evidence of election fraud. So, kind of need to do the whole prove that the election results were legitimate before you can try and claim that they were insurrectionists. Now, of course, the Democrats don't care. Now, there have been attempts at investigations, and the Democrats will try and say, oh, this was taken to court, and, you know, they lost, you know, all of this, except for they didn't. You know, it never actually made it to court. It was all tossed out on procedural grounds, just claiming that you didn't have any standing. The state's legislatures that tried to investigate the election were stonewalled, blocked. Those who engaged in the illegal election knowingly ignored and violated court orders, refusing to hand over the information that legally belongs to the state legislature to begin with. And the investigations have all come back inconclusive due to lack of access to the data. And now a lot of the data has and evidence has been destroyed. But from what we gather so far with the evidence that was previously obtained and the evidence that continues to come out, it continues to show that Joe Biden is constitutionally illegitimate and unconstitutionally seated in the White House. So the first order of priority here would be first determine the legitimacy of the election outcome before you can determine insurrection. You kind of understand where I'm going here. If the insurrectionists were right that the election was fraudulent and illegally conducted and so forth, then are they insurrectionists versus are they defenders of the Constitution who lost the battle to keep the legitimate government in power? Kind of an interesting spin on there, don't you think? Now, of course, the Democrats, they don't care about anything like that because they're anti-American. They're authoritarian dictators. And like all other authoritarian dictators, they are intent on trying to eliminate the Second Amendment, trying to disarm the people. Because once they have confiscated all the guns, it's game over. There is no more Constitution. There is no more republic. There is no more democracy. It'll be like every other country after the authoritarians take control. Nothing but oppression. And I've covered how the Democrats are already almost all the way through the authoritarian playbook for overthrowing a democracy. So, you know, they can try and say whatever they want, doesn't make it true. But they are intent on trying to make it, you know, or make their claim of an insurrection so that they can justify locking up their political opponents. You know, and at least try and give it a pretense this time that their use of government to attack their political opponents have some sort of legitimacy to it, even though it doesn't. Oh, but wait, there's more. We have another report here. The FBI is allegedly purging employees with conservative views. Now, Representative Jim Jordan, a Republican from Ohio, on Tuesday claimed that the FBI is purging employees who hold conservative viewpoints. In a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray, Jordan, the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, said that multiple whistleblowers at the law enforcement agency have come forward alleging retaliatory actions to employees who had engaged in disfavored political speech. The veteran, who allegedly served in the U.S. military for several years and was deployed in Kuwait and Iraq, had their security clearance suspended before being identified or before being indefinitely suspended from duty and pay after sharing personal views that the FBI was not being entirely forthcoming about the events of January 6th. There's that January 6th, the FBI's not being entirely forthcoming. Someone inside the FBI had mentioned that, and now they are permanently suspended without pay with their security clearance pulled. It's not like they said it publicly, they said it internally. As a result, the FBI determined that, you know, and the name is redacted, had espoused conspiratorial views and promoted unreliable information which indicated support for the event of January 6th, and therefore the FBI questioned allegiance to the United States, Jordan wrote. Now, this is interesting. So, as I take a look at this article, promoted unreliable information. You mean like the Steele dossier? What happened there? You know, who all faced consequences from that? For years? No one. Maybe Durham's finally getting around to that. But question allegiance to the United States for saying, hey, you're not being totally honest here about January 6th. So when you go through and they talk about, you know, and the Democrats want to talk about the intelligence community all agrees with us on this, that, or the other thing. Just remember, anybody who comes out and says, no, we don't, that's not true, is being punished. They're being fired. They're having their careers destroyed. And all under the guise of, well, you know, if you don't agree with, you know, our, you know, assessment, you know, we have to question your allegiance to the United States. Despite the people making those accusations of questioning allegiance to the United States, or those who have abused their positions, attacked democracy, and have attempted to enact a coup multiple times. You know, I mean, what type of world are we living in right now? You know, where they can just get away with this stuff and not face any consequences for it. What type of world are we living in? Where do we think this is going when they get to go ahead and engage in this type of behavior with no repercussions whatsoever? And so when you start hearing about, you know, in the next election cycle, you know, or in this election cycle and in the next election cycle, you know that the Democrats are going to try and say that, well, according to the, you know, secure, you know, the intelligence community or the FBI or, you know, whatever, as they try to justify attacking and locking up their political opponents, they are trying to purge those who are loyal to the Constitution from the intelligence community, from the FBI, from all government agencies, because to them, your allegiance must be to the Democrat Party. You ask them about the Constitution, they go, what Constitution? That's where they're going at here. And, I mean, it is sickening. And what is even more sickening here, as we take a look at everything surrounding January 6th, or heck, anything surrounding the election of 2020, is that the intelligence community, those who are supposed to investigate it, are mostly withholding information that they have that debunks the left's narrative. And firing anybody who dares tries to expose the truth of what's happened in these events. Because they're about trying to craft a narrative. So we got a dishonest media reporting fake news all over the place. We got a corrupt government that believes that its allegiance is to the Democrat Party and not to the Constitution, attacking all political opponents, trying to arrest them and throw them in jail like it's a third world country. No wonder the Democrats don't do anything as Putin marches on. Because, well, the Democrats are Putin. I mean, the only thing that I can see here about the Democrats' dislike of Putin is they're envious that he's able to just do what he wants as he wants to. Because they see themselves wanting to be Putin's Russia. They want to implement that here in the United States. I mean, we could say, you know, Nazi Germany, Mao Zedong. We could talk about all of that. But it all leads to the same thing. And that's what the Democrats are trying to do, that what they are trying to implement. So we also take a look here, you know, at the history of the United States and the Constitution and the reason for the Second Amendment. And then we take a look at the government. We see illegally conducted elections. We see government agencies being used to target American citizens, right? We all remember that letter about, you know, targeting parents who question what the schools are teaching our kids and going after the parents as if they are terrorists, to locking up political opponents, to now trying to just outright ban our, you know, remove our constitutional rights without any constitutional amendment. And you start realizing that we are now living in a time that our founding fathers had always said would happen, because our founding fathers informed that the nature of government is to become corrupt, to seek only to expand its own power and control. And that's why they added the Second Amendment. The whole point of the Second Amendment is so that we would have the ability to push back and defend ourselves from the government when it reaches the point, the tipping point, or past the tipping point of authoritarian dictators, of corrupt authoritarian tyrants. We are already there. Now, I can't predict whether we're going to be able to roll it back or not. It may already be too late to do it through the democratic process, because in order to do it through the democratic process, there must be a democratic process to do it through. But if the elections are rigged, the outcomes are predetermined, then there is no democratic process in order to resolve and roll back the authoritarian march of the left. And that gets to be a problem. Now, as we go through and we take a look at polls, and, you know, take polls with a grain of salt, I do, we're too far out for the polls to mean anything, and we've seen numerous election cycles where the polls are off. But usually when the polls are off, it's usually off in such a way as to favor the Democrats, right? Well, let's go ahead and take a look at the polls. So apparently things are so bad that not even the polls can manipulate the results to have anything favorable for the Democrats. So new left of center poll shows seismic shift in Hispanic political support. A poll from the Quinnipiac University asked respondents, if the election were today, would you want to see the Republican Party or the Democrat Party win control of the United States House of Representatives? The polls revealed that Republicans led Democrats by 3 percentage points, 41% to 38%. Now, you're taking a look at that, right? And a couple of things about that stand out. One, that doesn't add up to 100%, right? So that's interesting right there. But also, the Republicans only lead by 3 percentage points. So if you were to adjust by how far off polls tend to be in favor of the Democrats, you could probably assume it's in reality much larger than that. But I digress. The article continues. The results show a staggering shift from the results of the 2018 midterms, when an estimated 69% of Latinos voted for the Democrat candidate and 29% backed the Republican candidate. More than 2-to-1 advantage for Democrats, according to National Election Poll exit poll data. Pew Research reported the results largely reflect party affiliation of Latinos. In a Pew Research Center pre-election survey, 62% of Latinos said they identified with or leaned towards the Democrat Party, compared with 29% who affiliated with the Republican Party. So all of this is to say that if you were to take a look from 2018 to today, when taking a look at Hispanic support for the Democrat Party, it dropped from 69% to 38%? Woo! That's quite a shift, right? That's quite a shift. Now, we can go ahead and try and prematurely celebrate that, but in reality, that doesn't really mean anything as far as today. A lot can happen. And really, it can become much worse for the Democrats, as expected with Biden in office and everything that he's doing. But we also got other bad news for the Democrat Party here. 3 in 4 Democrat unaffiliated voters who saw 2,000 mules would recommend it to others. So Dinesh D'Souza's election fraud documentary, 2000 Mules, which is just exposed more evidence of election fraud. And if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It is drawing rave reviews across the political spectrum from those who saw it, according to a Rasmussen report, phone and web survey of 1,000 likely voters. While only 15% of survey participants have seen the film about the 2020 election, which claims hundreds of mules stuffed ballot boxes at odd hours of the days in critical swing states. Remember our earlier article, please, about how the ballot stuffing occurred with bribery and corrupt election officials certifying the accuracy of the vote, even though they were there, the one certifying the vote was the one adding fraudulent votes. But anyways, Democrats, 73%, and unaffiliated, 74%, voters are nearly as likely as Republicans, 85%, to recommend it to others, whether or not they shared their political beliefs. 73% of Democrats that saw it would recommend other people to see it. Wow. I mean, in any other situation, any other year, think about this. The Democrats, they don't stand for really anything. Their entire policy is they're against whatever you're for. You know, they're against whatever Republicans are for. That's their entire platform. But then now 73% of them who have seen the film would recommend it to others. And the unaffiliated, the independent voters, 74% of them would recommend other people to watch it. It's not good news for the Democrats. Now, how many will actually watch it? That's a different story. And you got to remember that while if you can get them to watch it, their eyes, you know, tend to be opened at least a little. It's the getting them to watch it. That's the hard part. All right, so the article continues. The film strengthened their conviction that there was systemic and widespread election fraud that deprived Donald Trump of re-election for 85% of Republicans, 68% of Democrats. 68% of Democrats who watched it know that the election was fraudulent, basically. No, wait. Yeah, 68% of Democrats and 77% of unaffiliated voters. It strengthened what they already knew about widespread election fraud. Wow. I mean, the fact that Democrats are like, yeah, we know it was fraudulent. Yeah, that's one thing. Do they care? That's a different story. It goes on. Only 19% of all viewers said it weakened their belief in election fraud. 19. Wow. Perhaps surprisingly, the percentage of surveyed respondents who have seen 2000 Mules are not starkly different based off political affiliation. Now, let me read that again. Perhaps surprisingly, the percentage of surveyed respondents who have seen 2000 Mules are not starkly different based on political affiliation. So it's not just Republicans watching it. It's Democrats are watching it too. 19% of Republicans have watched it, 14% of Democrats, and 11% of independents are unaffiliated voters. The film also has relatively high name recognition across Republicans, 50%, Democrats, 38%, and 38% unaffiliated. And the vast majority of non-viewers are familiar with its claims. 75% of Republicans, 63% Democrat, 74% unaffiliated. So, I mean, this is bad news for Democrats. I mean, when Democrat voters, likely voters, see it and it strengthens the fact that they already believe of widespread fraud and it strengthens it, that they would recommend it. Even their own base is saying, yeah, at this point, you know, we just can't keep denying it. I mean, they might be able to go off and say, let me put it to you this way. the same people that will go along with the Democrat Party and believing that boys can become girls and girls can become boys, the whole transgender movement, people who are that delusional, after looking at 2,000 mules and taking a look at everything else that come out on the election, says, yeah, believing that the election was legitimate is too far of a stretch. Transgenderism, yes, we fully believe in that. Joe Biden's legitimacy in the White House, that's starting to become a bit of a stretch for us. That's how bad it is for the Democrat Party at this particular point in time. All right. So that's it for this episode. All right. And I'd like to thank you so much for watching. I do this once a week. You know, if situation changes, you know, as I start seeing changes in stats, I may start going back to producing more episodes a week, but really I got a lot of things going on. And also, here in the next month or two, I may miss a few weeks as I have to pack up everything yet again and move. But luckily, this is the last time I'm moving. I had to make, as I moved to a different area, you know, I had to, you know, get a temporary place while I look for a permanent place. Well, first of all, I wanted to see if I liked it in the area before committing myself to a long-term stay. And then, of course, having to look around and see what type of housing was even available. You know, housing in this area is pretty tight. And so, you know, it took us a while to find a place for a permanent home, but it also took us a while to figure out whether or not we wanted to stay. You know, I'm not one of those people that if I move to an area, I'm going to buy a house right away and, you know, stay there. I kind of want to know if I like the area first. All right. So that's it for this episode. I'd like to thank you so much for watching. If you're watching this on Rumble, if you're listening to this on the audio version of the podcast, hey, that's great. Thank you so much. You know, go ahead, share this, get it out. You know, the more we can get conservative voices growing, the better. You know, get it out there. You know, strong conservative voices that don't care about the social media censorship in the sense that I'm not going to censor myself to fit what the left deems is and is not acceptable, like certain so-called political, you know, conservative leaders. I may not be the most polished speaker, but I'm not going to bow down to the leftist censorship just to make a buck. All right. Thank you so much. And I will be back again next week.